Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the balance of grace and faith is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. You know, I don't know if I'm getting this across to you. Some of you are sitting there and just deflecting what I'm saying and saying, oh, that's not me. But I can guarantee you that this is where the majority of people live, is they are in a works mentality, and this is why they aren't experiencing a greater relationship with God and stuff, is because they feel that they have to earn it, and you are constantly trying to perform instead of just receiving the love of God by grace. Just putting faith in the unmerited, unearned, deserved favor of God. God loves you, not anything to do with how good you are. You know, I've told you about my son being raised from the dead. I've seen three people raised from the dead. My son was dead for 5 hours, was raised from the dead with no brain damage, no more than he had before. I've told you about blind eyes being opened. We've had testimonies from Melinda tonight about all of these miracles. You know, most of you, this is a Saturday night. You aren't in church. You're at a hotel listening to a hick from Texas. You are a stark, raving, mad fanatic. Or either a fanatic drug you here. This isn't the nod to God crowd. You know, you believe in miracles. You believe in these things. If I tell you about miracles, most of you would, amen, brother, I believe this. If somebody fell dead right here and I said, all right, how many of you believe that God can raise this person from the dead? I guarantee you, most of you would be right there with me. And if I said, I'm going to pray for him and we're going to see this person raised from the dead, there'd be many of you get up out of your seats and come up here. You'd want to see it. You'd be excited. But you know where I could lose the majority of you is I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for him. And all of a sudden, those of you that had all of this excitement when it was me, you had all of this anticipation when it was me, your faith would turn into unbelief. Your anticipation would turn into dread. You'd Now, think about what happened. It's not you doubting that God can do it. Like I said, you aren't the nod to God crowd. You believe in the supernatural power of God, or you wouldn't be spending a Saturday night out here listening to me. You believe God can do anything. You believe in the supernatural power of God. That's not the problem. The problem is you don't doubt God's ability. You're doubting God's willingness to use His ability in your behalf because you don't feel worthy. You haven't yet understood that it's totally the grace of God. You think that you have to do something to merit it, to earn it. That's why you have more faith in my prayers than you have in your prayers. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in my prayers than you got in your prayers. It's true. You think that a preacher's got it all worked out, and man, we live holy all the time. Talk to my wife. She doesn't love me by justice. She loves me in spite of who I am, not because of who I am. But see, that's the deal. You know you so well. You bear a sin consciousness and an unworthiness, and because we don't fully understand that it's all the grace of God. God hasn't ever had anybody qualified working for Him yet. I'm not qualified to do this. God doesn't use me because I deserve it. I'm not holy enough. I have to stand here and believe in the goodness and in the grace of God. And see, this is the number one thing that I've gotten out of this revelation. I've applied it to my relationship with God, and I know that God's love for me, I've experienced this. Right when I confessed my sins and I realized how ungodly I was is the first and the greatest revelation that I ever had of God's love. It wasn't based on any worth of my own. It wasn't any goodness of my own. It had nothing to do with me. God loves you completely independent of you. You don't have to earn and deserve it. It's the grace of God. God by grace, He loved you before you were born again. And now that you are born again, much more, much more, much more He loves you now. If you are the sorriest saint in this room. If you are the lousiest Christian in this auditorium, God loves you infinitely more than He ever loved you before you got born again. God's love for you is unconditional. It's unending. It's unchanging. Since you didn't do anything to cause God to love you, that means you can't do anything to cause God not to love you, because His love has never been tied to anything you've done. God loves you. If you could get a revelation of that, I guarantee you, it would solve all of your problems. I actually believe that. Somebody says, oh, but you don't understand, I'm dying. That wouldn't solve that problem. Yeah, well, the Bible says in Galatians 5, 6, faith works by love. If you understood how much God loved you, your faith would go through the roof. Man, you would just, you'd be overwhelmed. If God loved you enough to die and bear your sins and suffer the shame and all of the things that He did, it says this in Romans chapter 8, He that commended His love toward us and all these things, if He spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Being healed is insignificant to being forgiven and loved by God. And you may not have ever phrased it this way, but you know what? If you're struggling to believe that God is going to heal you and that you're going to see healing, you're really struggling with the love of God. I've used this same logic many times. I remember a man who was dying. I was trying to convince him it was God's will for him to be well, and he just was so thankful for what God had already done. He didn't feel like he deserved to be healed of cancer. He was laying on his deathbed, and he was saying, I'm just not sure that God would do this for me. He's already done enough. And basically, I just turned and looked at his wife. I said, do you think that your wife wants to see you suffering like this, seeing you in pain, seeing you doing... And he said, oh no, this is not pleasing. He says, if she could, she would do anything for me. If she could, she would take my place. And I said, and you think God loves you less than your wife? Boy, it just stopped him. I remember a man one time that brought his daughter in a wheelchair, and she was 12 years old and she was a quadriplegic. Her mind, it was fried. She couldn't talk, communicate. She was a vegetable. And they had diapers on her. She was 12 years old. She had never responded. She was just breathing, but she wasn't alive. And this man got offended because I said it was God's will for every person to be healed. And he got up and left during the service. And the people who brought him to the meeting said, why don't you wait until after the service is over and ask Andrew what he's talking about? Maybe he could explain it. So this guy stayed and talked, and his daughter was sitting in a wheelchair. I was standing in front of the wheelchair. He was behind it. And he was telling me that God made her this way. This was God's will, that God's getting glory out of this. And he was using scriptures that I felt like he was misusing the scriptures. I was using scriptures to say every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, that God's not the author of these things. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. And he thought I was misusing my scriptures. I thought he was misusing his. And we were at a standstill. This guy was already mad at me. And so I thought, I've got nothing to lose. And so I just looked at this guy and I said, what kind of father are you in the first place? I said, you don't even love your daughter. I said, you don't care if she's ever normal. You don't care if she ever walks. You don't care if she ever interacts with anybody. If she ever gets married, you don't care. You don't love your daughter. Boy, this guy was hot. He was mad. And he says, he was yelling at me, and he says, I'd do anything. If there was an operation, I'd give any amount of money. He says, if I could, I'd be like her so that she could be well. And then I turned to him and I said, and you think God loves your daughter less than you do? Now, see, we could have argued scriptures and doctrine forever, but when I put it down to just love, he knew that there is nothing that would have kept him from ministering to his daughter and healing her if he could. And here he was thinking that God, who is all powerful and has all power and might, didn't care about his daughter as much as he did. When you bring it down to relationship and talk about love, he just had to say, I see your point. He says, if God is any kind of a God at all, any kind of a good God, it must be His will for my daughter to be well. See, that'd solve your theological problems. That'd get rid of this thinking that God is the one who's causing Hurricane Katrina and judging people and doing all of these kind of things. Man, that's not God. And religion has been misrepresenting God. They will preach the gospel to a degree that when you first get born again, we'll sing the song, "Just as I am, without one plea," and we'll preach grace. That's why it's so easy to get born again, because grace is presented and faith is just something you do to receive what God has already done. If salvation would be presented differently, if people would say, "Now Jesus might forgive your sins, Jesus might come to this earth and die for you if you will pray hard enough and if you will repent hard enough and if you will promise to never do anything wrong again and if you will live holy, then God might do it," you would have never gotten saved. Because you would have thought, "Oh, it'll never work for me." But see, the reason it was easy to get saved is because it was presented as it's already done. It's the good news. It's not the good prophecy. It's the good news. It's already happened. It's already taken place. When they report the news, well, I can't say this completely because they fabricate things now and make up stuff. But the news is supposed to be telling you what has already happened. The good news, the reason it's easy to get born again is because you're told that Jesus already died for the sins of the world. He's already commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And it's news. And so you say, "Well, man, if it's already happened, I'll receive it." It's easy to reach out and receive something if it's already done. If there's no element of doubt in it, will God do it? And so that's the reason that you get born again relatively easy. But then it's like the Galatians. The Galatians were people that received the gospel and got born again. But then the Jews, the religious Jews, came in and started saying, "Faith in Jesus isn't enough. You've also got to be circumcised. You've also got to keep the law. You've got to keep the feast. You've got to start doing this." And they started perverting the gospel.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the balance between grace and faith. This live series is available as a CD or DVD album and also as a book. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD, DVD, or book. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request "God Loves Me Unconditionally" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I've got great news for those of you who would like to participate in Charis and yet you just haven't seen how you could fit it into your schedule. You can't move and yet you have a desire to get God's Word in you. We now have what we call eCharis. And this little iPad comes with all 39 courses of the first year curriculum loaded onto it. You don't even have to have an internet connection. So there are approximately, I think, 312 hours worth of teaching on here. You can take tests on here. You can interact with our staff. And it is just a great way to do it. You get a wireless set of headphones that come with it. It's just a tremendous way to get God's Word in your heart. So check it out. eCharis from our Charis Bible College.